You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jones to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hayden, out of left field. You, in our wide receiver sleeper show, hopefully you all checked out that video, told everyone to draft Julio Jones. At what spot? Julio was going prior to this as the wide receiver 81, 191 overall. We had hinted, suggested that maybe it was the Green Bay Packers. But now, there are so many layers to peel back here of who the Bucs are with Julio, what this does to impact the rest of the wide receiver, quarterback group, running back group even. So let's start first, though, with the individual talent that is Julio Jones, because I know, Hayden, you have said that he's not washed, despite what the stats might say of Julio Jones last season.
I mean, I don't even know where this narrative came from. He was not healthy. Yes, congrats. You figured out that he was missing time like everybody else was saying. But actually, the stats and the eye test both said that Julio Jones was good last year. Like, let's remove weeks 14, 15, and 16. He was playing less than 50% of those snaps. If you remove those games where he was clearly not healthy, and you look at the rest of the games, the playoff games, the games before his injury, he was 13th in PFF grade out of 105 receivers, 11th in yards per route run at 2.2. He averaged 85.7 yards in 2020. Last year, when in those six games where he played more than 50% of the snaps, he averaged 62 yards. Is he elite? No, he's not elite anymore. But I think you can move him down a couple tiers, and you can see how Julio Jones still is very big and very explosive. I'm very curious what the contract is going to look like here. I'm very curious to see how this impacts Chris Godwin. But I think if the Bucs' plan is, let's get him out there for half the snaps. If something happens to Chris Godwin in a setback, if something happens to one of the other receivers, we know we have the potential of a really good player. Go watch some of the film here. The dude's still very big, very explosive. You have to kind of squint and remove a couple of the unhealthy games, but he was still cooking people last year.
Okay, let's talk through a bunch of these, because as we know, we just mentioned wide receiver 81 is where Julio was going. We've been all over Mike Evans suggesting that like a wide receiver one overall outcome was in the range of possibilities for the wide receiver 7 in Mike Evans. Also, this offseason, the team went out and signed Russell Gage to a, 3-year, $30 million contract with 2 years basically guaranteed. And then Chris Godwin, late season injury, but he's back to practicing today.
Yeah.
Back to practicing today. We know Gronk retired, but also bringing in Kyle Rudolph as somewhat of a veteran presence while also having Cameron Brate, who is still such a massive influence inside the 20 and inside the 10-yard line. So now that we know about Julio, that there still is something left in the tank, just didn't do well, didn't get along with the Titans and the practice schedule that they had. Where do we pick up from here? Where do you want to start in that dynamic of the wide receiver room and how it's going to impact the ADPs moving forward?
Let's just start from the top down. Mike Evans, currently the 16th overall player and on Underdog Fantasy. I moved him down to about 22nd overall. I think you can move him down for a couple of reasons. One, there was the good news that Chris Godwin is cleared to practice, which is a little bit ahead of schedule. And obviously the Julio Jones stuff makes they're a little more target competition. So I think moving him down, I think it's like a good debate. T. Higgins versus Mike Evans, I feel like it's pretty interesting. Mike Williams, Mike Pittman, Tyreek Hill, all those names kind of grouped together at the 2-3 turn. Do you have any disagreements? Like 2-3 turn for Mike Evans seems about fair? Or do you still want to rank him at like the 1-2 turn?
It's so tough. You're so much better at this, to be honest with you, of immediately re-ranking people, because I need to like filter through this versus this, that versus that. What always stands out though with Mike Evans, 7 years of 1,000 yards to start his career. He had 18 targets inside the 20, but most importantly, 12 targets inside the 10-yard line. I don't think that any of that's going away. And he's still a route runner at his size. Like, that's always undervalued with him. But yes, rather than possibly taking him in multiple drafts over CeeDee Lamb back in the Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, because there are some qualms about those conversations, is back probably where I'll put them, other than ranking him as like the wide receiver 5 previously, because I was above ADP on Mike Evans.
To me, T. Higgins, Mike Evans, pretty similar-ish cases. There's some target competition, but you know you have good quarterback play, and both of those players are better in best ball down the field. They could certainly spike and be first, second, third overall.
But we still think he's the top wide receiver. Like, I agree. Still the top receiver on that team.
I have him one spot ahead of T. Higgins in my rankings at like 22nd overall.
Okay. Now there's other news beyond this, and maybe we should start with the healthy players first. You know this. I was packing my damn bags of Russell Gage all summer, and you quietly, you wouldn't overtly say this, but you quietly, whenever I brought up his name, you were just like, Then like 3 seconds of silence and I move on to the next thing. You were never crazy about Russell Gage. I thought he was a really good player in Atlanta. Jason Light, the Bucs organization, believed he's a great player as well. But not only in my brain was it, say, like a hedge, but insurance on, hey, these are the areas where he is going to win. We've seen these slot targets who also can win outside be really dominant with Tom Brady in the past, someone who threw more 20-plus yard passes than anyone in the league last season. But I can't draft any more Russell Gage going as wide receiver 34.
I mean,
it's over. It's over for me. I'm done drafting him all summer long. But then where does
that's actually a bad take, Josh. And this is,
I know what you mean.
And wait 2 weeks. So this is my thing with Russell Gage, is when Russell Gage is going up the board, like, yes, I'm like, all right, Chris Godwin timeline's a little uncertain. I'm going to move Russell Gage.
I've already taken too much though.
But now in 2 weeks from now when you get Russell Gage in the 130s, now is the time to be drafted.
So what you're telling me, Hayden, is I'm going to have 65% exposure to Russell Gage.
I'm saying you owe me 100 pushups is what I'm saying here.
Okay. So where should we slot him? To me, he can't be before Kadarius Toney or Brandon Ayuk or MVS. How much further does it fall?
Tyler Boyd
territory at wide receiver 51. Where are we now slotting Russell Gage?
I think Tyler Boyd, I would have Tyler Boyd over Russell Gage personally there. What both you're hoping the number three, and there is no Julio Jones number four on the Bengals. So I'd rather have Tyler Boyd. I think that you can make a discussion right now. Russell Gage, Julio Jones, who would you rather have rest of the season? I put them right next to each other. This is like this has been 5 minutes, guys, and I'm packing my bags. I'm going to San Diego, trying to take the wife on a nice day. I'm trying to get my fantasy rankings in order. I have them back to back, 120s, 130s, 140s. I think that's kind of where we're going to be settling in for Russell Gage. The thing about Russell Gage that makes it so interesting, there is no Russell Gage fans out there. I mean, you might be the only one. You might be the only one. So I think his ADP is really going to plummet here. But I think at the same time, you better be hoping your bags are packed for Julio Jones, because I was drafting him 190th overall. So if everyone else can be drafting him 120th overall, is that a good bet? What the actual play was is you were supposed to be fading Gage and buying Julio. And
who knew that this would happen? I was getting both. I was having high exposure to both.
Yeah, I think this was the worst outcome. And I would say this was a very unexpected outcome for Russell Gage. But also Russell Gage climbing into the 60s is... there should be a little warning sign with that as well. I think the actual really tough part about this is the Chris Godwin, because I can see this being played a million ways. If I'm the Bucs organization, I'm like, I got Julio Jones, who could certainly be available for the first month of the season. Am I going to slow play with Chris Godwin now? Russell Gage can play in the slot, and he can be another excuse to slow play for Chris Godwin. But at the same time, Chris Godwin was cleared to practice right now, which was ahead of schedule by more than a couple weeks. I don't know how cleared to practice. That's a very vague term to me. I don't know if that means he's 100%, if he's somewhere in between. They've always been a little bit cautiously optimistic here. I didn't really move Chris Godwin because I think the Julio Jones announcement's a little bit bad for Chris Godwin, but also he's being a little healthier, which is, I think, is good news. So I think in the 60s, 70s is the right spot for Chris Godwin.
64 overall right now.
I don't think there's that great of a reason to move him up or down, really.
Okay. this is let's look at it from the Bucks perspective. Okay. Is this just a play where this is their window to win? Tom retired. He came back. The organization really hasn't changed other than a Rob Gronkowski retirement and Ali Marpet retirement. But you also can bring in Shaq Mason. Now you bring in Julio Jones plus Russell Gage. Obviously, AB is no longer on the team. Is this just loading it up because they know it's the window to win? Or is this filling certain roles? Like, the reason I bring this up, and you get sick of me, but always looking at like where Gronk was so important for this team, and it was those intermediate seam targets, right? And yep, especially being a presence inside of the red zone. You need 11 targets last year inside the red zone, 5 catches, 4 touchdowns, like just a big body in that area. Russell Gage was never going to fill that aspect. If Chris Godwin, a little bit of a hedge, maybe Julio really earns his money early on. We know he's never, ever, ever been a touchdown machine, but maybe that's how they view him here. Plus Mike Evans on the outside.
Julio Jones might set his own personal touchdown record.
It's the late career, you know, change in the arc, the change in the storyline, the change in the archetype of what we're getting from him potentially.
No, I think what Julio Jones is, I don't think that he's going to average 8, 9, 10 targets. I think those days are behind him. It's this play action, deep crossing route. Like a couple of these highlights right here, that's where it's going to be Julio Jones. I think this is a perfect thing. Like Mike Evans is your red zone jump ball guy. Chris Godwin can do whatever underneath. And then on the play action stuff, when there's doing those duo runs, this is definitely a power rushing offense. Tom Brady under center, and all of a sudden you have a deep route. So I think that Julio Jones probably have a high yards per target, high yards per reception, probably not going to have as many targets as we're used to. And in those 6 games where he is healthy, I can see him having a couple big weeks just winning downfield. Cause I still think in a straight line, the dude is still terrifying. I mean, just look at this play right there. This dude could still ball. I think it's going to be on limited volume, but I think there is a role for him. I think when all, like, let's play the week 17 thing. Like, that's the underdog fantasy thing. The week 17, who's going to be out there? I think that it'll be Mike Evans as the X receiver. Chris Godwin's going to be starting in the slot. We're expecting him to be fully healthy by the end of the season. And then Russell Gage and Julio Jones kind of be rotating in that Z spot. And the good thing with Russell Gage and Chris Godwin is if there is an injury to any one of the other receivers, they have inside-outside versatility. I even think you can hide Julio Jones in the slot if you need to. So they go 4 deep. I think there'll be a little bit of a rotation. I don't think Mike Evans is leaving the field, but they might do a little more 10 personnel than we're used to. But I think this is mostly just insurance. And you have Julio Jones and Chris Godwin. You're hoping that you get a combined 17 games out of those two.
Okay. We've buried the lead a little bit. While I might have missed the boat, been ahead of it in drafting too much Russell Gage, 3 highest drafted quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Tom Brady for me. We have a free draft guide posting on this Monday. You all can go check it out. It'll be on all our social medias. And if you're checking out for this video after Monday, August 1st, I'll link it down below. Tom Brady was going as the quarterback 10 after being the quarterback 3 last season. At the time when we did our quarterback rankings video, I asked, what the hell changed? It's just because people get enamored, obsessed with younger quarterbacks who have rushing potential. And they forget about the dude who led the NFL in attempts of 20 plus yards last year, who is behind arguably a top 3, top 5 offensive line, who can start a drive if he wants to with 12 straight passing plays. Like, he's in complete command in an offense that now is loaded with position groups. Sophie talked about wide receivers and those rankings. Hayden, we're going to see a late surge, and we already have seen a recent surge of Trey Lance up from, I don't know, quarterback 12 where he was. Maybe Trey Lance gets all the way up to quarterback 7 and replaces Joe Burrow there. This should certainly impact Tom Brady. No? Like, I've already had him ranked as the quarterback 7. Shouldn't that be his spot to claim?
Yeah, no, I think that Tom Brady should climb. Looking last year, using underdog scoring, fantasy points over replacement, aka better in best ball points, Tom Brady was 18th overall, and his ADP is 85th overall. You and I both have him in the 60s. That's before our Julio Jones. Give him a slight bump. You don't go too crazy here. Tom Brady was going to get his whether he had Julio Jones or not, but I'm with you. I think that Chris Godwin's ADP has dropped. Tom Brady's ADP has actually dropped 16% since the beginning of Best Ball Mania 3. This is the time to buy.
Why?
I don't know.
People get so obsessed with rushing upside, like the dude who's going to score 6 to 8 rushing touchdowns and 600 rushing yards. Tom Brady is better than he has ever been throwing down the field. He takes more chances than he ever has previously. He will throw an interception to create big plays because he knows the league has changed. And the effect that he now has on this team is staggering to me, where all these guys come back for potentially a little less money, or you can get these final free agent to secure the final, you know, tick of the check marks on the checklist. Man, I can't wait to watch this offense. And it's an NFC South, dude. Like, there's some, maybe some frisky defenses there with the Panthers and the Saints, but no offense is even close to being able to put up how many points the Bucks are going to be able to put up. And they don't take their foot off the gas, man. Yep. 30, 40 points a week. Let's do it.
All right, let's end this. Over, under Julio Jones, 130th in ADP.
Now, my question to you, and the people know this, if you're subscribed to the channel, we always say follow the money, you know? There's no way that Julio Jones is earning more money than Russell Gage this year. $10 million Russell Gage is earning.
Yeah.
Does that impact this?
Right now in my rankings, just initial gut rankings, I have Russell Gage one spot ahead of Julio Jones. Like, that's, I'm going to be following the contracts and all that stuff. It's very early into this discussion, but I think in the 120s, somewhere right by that Tyler Boyd range is kind of where we're going to have Julio Jones and Russell Gage.
Okay. If any of the last 15 minutes made sense, be sure to hit that subscribe button, the thumbs up, heck, even the notification bell. We freaking just finished a show 30 minutes ago, and then this news hit. Hopefully all of you watched those sleeper shows, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers specifically. When Hayden, one of his six names that he brought up was Julio Jones as wide receiver 81, and now that's a total smash spot.
I need to, this is a hell tier revelation. Look at this tweet. You guys were drafting Justin Ross as wide receiver 88 versus Julio Jones 86. This was in
shame June. On you.
A million pushups if that was you. A million.
Hayden is just the drill sergeant handing out pushups now. Scampers, we appreciate you. This is awesome. Feels like football season. And again, if you want to use these rankings and this logic to your advantage, go and play on Underdog Fantasy. All right. For Hayden, I'm Josh. What a day. We will talk to y'all soon. See ya.